and welcome to episode 15 of the Nightlight Stories podcast, recorded on November 21st, 2009. This podcast tells one original story each episode that will light up the imagination of children of all ages, anytime, anywhere. I am your host and narrator, Miss Mal. It is official. We are in the holiday season. There will be days off of school and work, eating mouth-watering foods and desserts, and of course, spending time with those you love. Whether you are traveling by plane, car, or train, we wish you a safe journey. Personally, in the Nightlight Stories household, we love to jam to music from Rocknoceros, Lori Berkner, Imagination Movers, and Recess Monkey on our iPods, listen to stories, and watch a movie or two. We also love to play games to pass the time, like Car Bingo or I Spy. Whatever your plans are this holiday weekend, we hope you have a magnificent time. Our next story, Mojo's Cousin Trouble, was written by Chris and Melissa Bouguet. As you listen to the story, consider the following. Have you ever had someone come over to play who accidentally broke your stuff? Mojo's Cousin Trouble by Chris and Melissa Bouguet. Mojo awoke to the roar of the vacuum. His mother was cleaning the house. Mojo yawned a big yawn, stretched a big stretch, and climbed out of his hammock, leaving a perfectly formed imprint of his body swaying behind. Blinking away the sleepiness, Mojo looked around his new room. His parents had moved his cage downstairs, and he was just getting used to his new surroundings. Mojo climbed out of his cage when the strong smell of disinfectant stung his nose. Achoo! 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 The massive sneezing fit took Mojo by surprise, causing his whole body to shudder. As soon as the sneezes subsided, a different set of smells came rushing in. The richness of cranberries and the sweetness of apples made Mojo sprint up the stairs and into the kitchen, where a different smell made his mouth water. His father slowly turned around, holding the most radiant-looking dish in his hands. Mojo barely heard his father say, "Good morning there, little guy. I'd bet you'd like some of this now, wouldn't ya?" Mojo nodded in agreement as he stared at the luscious banana cream pie. Dancing around his father's feet and craning his neck to get a better look, Mojo hoped beyond all hope that his father would give him a taste. Mojo's father reached for the refrigerator door handle and said, Now, this pie is for..." Ding dong! "They're here early!" screeched Mojo's mom from the back bedroom, turning off the vacuum and rushing down the hall toward the front door. Mojo sprinted to the living room, jumped on the couch, right past the hole in the cushions, and looked out the window to see who was standing at the front door. There was a man and a woman holding what looked something like a laundry basket draped with a blanket. Maybe they were coming to do laundry. After all, it was cleaning day. Mojo leapt down from his perch on the back of the couch and headed toward the door to greet the visitors. The woman put the laundry basket down and pulled back the blanket. It certainly smelled like dirty laundry. Mojo jumped up, placing his front paws on the rim, and looked in, expecting to see soiled socks and ugly underwear. Suddenly, two streaks of brown whizzed past Mojo's shoulders, knocking him down onto his back. Mojo sprung back onto his feet, twisting around to watch as the two brown blurs disappeared around the corner. Mojo scrambled after them, hearing the woman say, "Oh, look at the cousins go! They're going to have so much fun together!" Mojo chased after the shapes that disappeared into the same bedroom his mother had just finished cleaning. When he entered the room, he saw a small ferret with a bright pink nose standing on the shoulders of a much larger ferret with deep black patches of fur surrounding his eyes. Using the larger ferret's shoulders for leverage, the smaller ferret propelled himself up into the air, landing on the dresser top. Mojo watched in horror as the mischievous little ferret scurried along, pushing everything with his nose. One by one, every item on the dresser came crashing to the ground as the larger ferret duked and dodged. In an instant, powder puffed in the air, lotion splattered onto the rug, and jewelry rained down to scatter on the floor. Before Mojo could even move, the two ferrets rushed past him again, sprinting back down the hallway toward the stairs. Mojo turned in pursuit, swimming between the oncoming legs of his mother and the new guests. As he skidded to a halt at the top of the stairs, he faintly registered his mother saying, "I can't believe this is the first time you've been to the house. Well, that was the living room, and this is the bathroom. The bedrooms are back there." The familiar sound of claws clinking on metal and then plastic sent a pang of panic through Mojo's body. The ferrets had found his cage. Front paws out, Mojo slid down the stairs on his belly. He hit the ground running and was at the door of his cage in a flash, just in time to see the food from his food bowl fly into the air. It came down in a shower all around him, auburn pellets bouncing off his head. Looking up, Mojo saw the larger black-eyed ferret twisting and twirling away in the hammock. He wriggled and writhed, trying to get comfortable until the ends of the hammock snapped, giving way under the immense bulk of the heavier ferret. Like a boulder tumbling down a hill, the big ferret came crashing into the smaller ferret. Together, the two toppled out of the cage, coming to a rest in front of Mojo. For a moment, the house was silent as the two ferrets worked to untangle themselves from each other. Mojo felt anger bubble up inside his chest. These two hoodlums just wrecked his cage, and that just wasn't fair. He thought about jumping the two ferrets, wrestling with them until they said they were sorry, when he heard his mother and the woman talking at the top of the stairs. "And down there is a family room where we moved Mojo's cage because we're going to be needing that back bedroom pretty soon." "Uh-oh," said the woman. "I hope Bandit and Wookie aren't destroying things. They tend to get a bit rowdy in new places when they're exploring. They're just so curious, you know?" Hearing his mother give a tour of the house and hearing the woman explain why the ferrets were acting so rambunctious gave Mojo an idea. Bandit and Wookie clambered to their feet, taking a moment to get their bearings. Taking advantage of the momentary stillness, Mojo motioned with his paws for the two ferrets to stop and follow him. To his surprise, the two ferrets obliged and followed him as he led them to a slightly opened closet door. Using his nose to push the door open, Mojo crawled inside. Bandit and Wookie started to follow behind when two small red wiffle balls came flying out of the door. Wookie, the smaller and more agile of the two, pounced on the first ball before it even hit the ground. Bandit caught the second ball with his teeth and shook it back and forth, making the bell trapped inside ring with delight. Mojo watched from the crack of the door as the two ferrets wrestled with the balls, battering them off the walls and chasing them around the floor. Wookie and Bandit duped with glee as they tossed the balls back and forth, up and down, and around. Mojo joined in the fun too, snatching Wookie's ball and running away with it in his mouth. Wookie scrambled after Mojo and playfully tackled him to the ground. The three ferrets joyfully tussled with the balls for what seemed like hours, oblivious to the sounds of the rest of their family joking and laughing upstairs at the dinner table. After playing with the balls, Mojo beckoned Bandit and Wookie to follow him again. This time, Mojo led the tour back upstairs into his old bedroom. Mojo pulled himself up onto a slightly open dresser drawer and squeezed through the crack. Bandit and Wookie waited patiently, curious as to what newfound adventure awaited. Suddenly, another red ball came shooting out of the crack in the dresser drawer, arcing over Wookie and Bandit. This ball was larger than the wiffle balls and had a tail trailing behind it, unraveling as it flew through the air. The ball of yarn landed behind Bandit and Wookie, who leapt on it instantly. The three ferrets tore at the yarn, pulling it around chair legs, between bedposts, and under the chest of drawers. Within minutes, the ball of yarn was transformed into a red spiderweb, crisscrossing the room. Mojo, Bandit, and Wookie tripped and tangled each other as they interlaced the yarn around the room. Mojo had so much fun with Bandit and Wookie that he forgot all about the mess they had made earlier. Mojo was on his back, untangling himself from a piece of yarn with Bandit and Wookie helping him to get free, when the aroma wafted into each of their noses. The cousins looked at each other, taking a second to process the smell, and then, like a flock of birds, the three moved together in unison, leaving the yarn strewn behind them. "Whoa, whoa, whoa!" shouted Mojo's father, tippy-toeing around the three ferrets who each tried to climb his legs. "Okay, okay, give me 1 second." Mojo's father put the dessert on the table in front of the rest of the family and said,
We'd better get these guys a slice soon before they gnaw my legs off.
Mojo's mother cut a slice of the banana cream pie, placing 3 wafer-sized slices of fresh banana on top. Here you go, she said, placing the dish on the floor. Happy Thanksgiving, guys. The family gave a laugh as Bandit, Wookie, and Mojo each took a slice of banana and shared the rest of the pie together. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. We hope you enjoyed the story. We would like to send out bright birthday wishes to Maggie B. of West Virginia, Keisha G. of Massachusetts, Prescott N., and Maddie E. of Virginia. If you would like to send someone a nightlight birthday wish, email us at nightlightstories@gmail.com. As always, I look forward to watching the glow grow brighter with the many stories we can share together.